What's happening?
You can tell by the way she walks as she smiles.
Listen to League Podcast episode 279er.
279er. Niner.
279er 9. I'm Matt Durson.
I'm Josh Lynn.
Clay Inferno.
All right. Well, welcome back. We're the ones who were gone. Clay was here, but
yeah, but
we're
back. I couldn't just very well have done a podcast by myself. Besides, I was busy all last Sunday. I was in the panel room. Literally all day, except for the time I took, the half hour I took to, like, leave the panel room to come up with questions. So it was, like, 11 to 5, I was just in the panel room.
So you were moderating panels from 11 to 5?
Well, Stefan was, watching. Too. Like, okay. So, like, we didn't switch off. I was, like, early, and then he was, like, yeah, actually, better way to put it is that we were just switching off. So we were, like, just in the room together all day.
That's great. I mean, well, cool. I mean, and stressful probably. I don't know.
It wasn't stressful. It's just like, oh, that's a whole day of the con gone. You know what I mean? It's like I couldn't walk around. And that would have been the better day to walk around because Saturday was super busy and we were walking around that day. Yeah. But you know how it is. It's like
it annoying, always is. Yeah.
You know. But I had a good time all 3 days. I gotta say.
Oh, that's good. And you did Elizabeth Henstridge, right? Is that her name?
Yes. Oh my God, what a sweetheart. She was so nice. And so cool, and she liked my questions, and hopefully we'll, if not today, then at some point there's a few minutes of our panel we can put on one of these podcasts.
Very
and,
well.
And Stacy said, yeah, that was really good. You know, like I was like, did I mess it up? And she was just so nice. I can't really describe it. It was wonderful. It was great.
She's of course Simmons on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, yes, and I like it took me forever to like kept saying it over again. I didn't want to mess up her name, Elizabeth Henstridge. It's almost like Bridge Water or something.
Manfredson, Harvey Manfredson.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to mess up her name.
Well, I mean, it's pretty. I don't know. I mean, it's not to be confused with that other woman who was in Species. What was her name? Was
You're right, who's not her, like, people think that's her mom, but it's not.
I don't think that woman's older than her mom, is she?
No, she is. Wow, well, it's like on IMDb, it's like, under the trivia, it's like, everyone thinks that's her mom. It is not.
What is her name? Her name is, oh, I forget her name now, but it's Henstridge, right? Or...
Yeah, it is Henstridge.
Yeah, okay. No relation. It must be a popular name.
Natasha.
Distant cousins.
Distant. Yeah.
But I made
maybe they're married. Woo!
I made a point to say now that Agent Carter isn't around that she is now the British super spy lady agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So she better maybe she should get her own show now.
Oh really? Yeah. I don't think it's probably not going to happen. But
no. But I was like, you have to hold the mantle. She was like, isn't it so sad that Peggy's gone? I was like, yeah. But
well,
it was just really sad. Great.
The second season wasn't as good.
It was good enough.
All right, it was good enough. You're right.
It was still great. I mean, Agent Carter was pretty awesome.
No, she was a great character. I didn't really buy into the whole storyline of the whatever that weird black thing was. But so what else panel? What other panel?
I sort of bookended it, and both times were with Marv Wolfman. It was the first panel of the con, was a Marvel Writers panel, and it had your friend Frank Thierry.
Oh, my buddy, yeah, yeah.
Marv Wolfman.
Does Frank write for Marvel?
it was not a Marvel. It wasn't a Marvel Writers panel. Did I say that?
I see.
It was a Writers panel.
Okay, I get you. Just checking.
Yeah, and Amanda Dibert, who's Kat Staggs' wife, and she was writing some of the Supergirl stuff, and Ming Doyle, who was writing Constantine. So it was like kind of a range of different skill sets, but it was really good. You know, like you got Frank, who's like the, you know, the writer, like it, you know, he's like more, you know, he's like your workaday Joe, like working at comics, you know. Marv Wolfman, you know, legendary comic writer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Amanda, who's written a bunch of books and like and TV show stuff on Hulu. And then Ming, who's like basically a first time writer, but has been in the comic business for 10 years. And, you know, so it was really good to talk to like a different, you know, group of people.
Yeah, that's cool. Did he talk about Gang of Hollies?
Yeah, he talked about.
I write Gang of Hollies.
Gang of Hollies. And then we were talking about video games, and he's like, "Well, I did write Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You could have mentioned that in the intro." It was really funny. It was like, "I'm gonna bust your head." It was like a good
just busting your balls.
I mentioned, you know, like Harley, Gang of Hollies, and everything, and like Punisher and all that. And he's like, "Well, you could have mentioned that." It was like, I felt like I was on The Sopranos or something.
I know. I mean, he's the nicest guy. Like, I'm not, I hope he doesn't listen and think we're making fun of him. He was so nice when I sat next to him at Free Comic Day, but he's kind of a Goomba. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
He would admit that. But that's cool. So that was the first panel of the whole thing, the whole weekend?
The whole weekend. And then the last panel that I did was Marv Wolfman solo, so we talked about his career and writing and all sorts of stuff. He did the novel adaptation of the Suicide Squad movie, so that's out now. He did New 52 Cyborg. We talked Crisis on Infinite Earths. We talked Teen Titans. There were a lot of people had questions. There weren't a ton of people there, but it wasn't very advertised very well by the convention, I don't think. But we had a good time, and he was a really super nice guy.
Cool.
It was great. Yeah. Had a great time.
Very well.
Missed you guys at the con. Missed you guys.
I know. I haven't missed a con in many years. I was thinking, like, this is the first year, not only am I not going to Boston, I'm not going to any convention at all, I don't think. So, weird.
Well, you went to the Walker Stalker.
Oh, that's true. But that's not a comic con, I guess. That's...
The Walking Dead is a comic.
Oh, all right, Josh. You got it.
He's got you there.
So did you want? You did get to walk around a little bit though in the other 2 days.
Yeah,
you,
Friday and Saturday, I've walked around, bought some swag, got some. Trying to fill in my now. I've actually motivated now to write out the Excel spreadsheet that determines which issues of G.I. Joe I have and do not have. But I picked up of the. I think there's 150 issues, thereabouts. I picked up 10 that I knew I definitely didn't have. So like,
oh, very good.
That's pretty good. And then I have pretty much everything from 50 to, you know, 120. So I'm definitely getting there.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I think it was a weird. It was like 156 or something like. Wasn't it a weird? It was like a weird
number.
Like a,
yeah.
It was like a weird not round number. You know.
And those ones at the end, I don't even know if I'm gonna read them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but you gotta have them all.
They had the branding is like Tiny G.I. Joe starring Snake Eyes.
Oh yeah, stuff, I remember, you know? That was so weird. That was Marvel, you know. In that day, they were kind of just
floundering. It probably just wasn't as popular, you know.
Yeah,
think about how. I mean, 150. That's a really good run. So
yeah, these days that would be like a record.
Yeah.
They always go about 20 before they reboot everything.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Reboot.
And even Stefan did in relation to that. Stefan did the Scott Snyder panel, and Greg Capullo showed up, and they talked about their run on Batman and how, you know, that was because that's a great run. You know,
yeah,
it wasn't definitely that long, but I mean, that's get a hardcover of it and
yeah,
there you go. That's Batman.
There you go. So. The Batman. So like Greg Capullo just showed up. He wasn't
He was at the show, but he didn't like wasn't officially announced on the panel, and like he even, you know, surprised everybody. Like, hey, Luke, you know. So
that's kind of them.
And that's what it was like last year too. Like they they did the panel together, and they talked about what he has coming up, because Greg has a story coming out with Mark Miller, and also Greg has, I mean, Scott has All-Star Batman coming out right now. They talked a little bit about that, and then they're going to come back and do another Batman story eventually, when after Greg takes his break doing this cool Mark Miller book. So
very well.
Yeah. So it should be, I mean, that was like a really fun panel, and, you know, like, you could see how passionate those guys are about Batman, and, you know, how great they thought their run was, because it was good.
It was, yes. What about Boston Comic Con was apparently sold? Did you
hear about? I did see that. Yeah.
Fan Expo is bought out.
Have you guys ever been to a Fan Expo show?
No.
I don't know. I probably. There were a lot of people complaining about it. I know that.
Well, you got to figure, and I mean, this is.
But those are people. I mean,
those are people, and there's people. I mean, like, we know people that run the show. I got to say, I know he's definitely not listening, but Eric, who asked us to moderate the panels,
I know Eric. He's a very nice guy.
Super cool guy. He assigned the panels, I think, in a great, very fair way. It was very cool, and he always hooked us up and gets us what we need and stuff. So, I mean, I hope they keep people like Eric on, you know, but they could come in and, you know, just do their own thing, you know, like, they could, like, I don't know if it's like an aqua hire kind of situation where they, like, keep everybody on staff, or if they start new or what. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I just like that term, aqua hire. I like that. That's good. Because is that a thing? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's like when you. That's like when, like, okay, like Facebook bought Instagram, right? So, like, they keep everybody on staff, but they own it, you know?
Right.
Like, so they acquire the staff that's on it.
Well, when I was reading about it, I forget the dude's name now, who started Boston Comic Con like many years ago, but he said there like 900 people went or something like that over the course of the whole weekend, maybe. And now it was like 45,000 a day.
Yeah, yeah, it was nuts.
So, like, yeah, I mean, he did a good thing, and then and he probably figured, this is a good time now. I can sell it and make a crap load of money.
Yep. Yeah.
It seems funny to me that it's like a thing that can be sold. I don't know why, but it just seems weird.
Yeah, I guess, like, somehow.
Yeah, it's like,
the,
I mean,
right?
It's a company. I think it's a full-time job for at least a few people, like, all year round, you know? So, I don't know. I don't know how it all works.
We'll see. I don't know how it works either, but people were complaining about the prices of tables and stuff like that.
Well, they already went up, so.
Yeah. But now it could go up, like, ridiculously, because Fan Expo is, like, a bigger thing. And I don't know. Who knows? But we don't know.
One thing we do know, I think, sort of, in the abstract, is, like, they're not going to double. But they already told you what the prices are going to be for next year's tables. They're just more expensive.
They are more expensive. Right.
Yeah. And then I had a little bit of, like, trouble. I'm not like, throwing anybody under the bus. It was probably partly my fault, but, like, maybe it'll be easier for me to get a table this year, dealing with, like, a bigger company, because they, like, wouldn't accept our payments and stuff. So that's why we didn't have, like, a table this year. I was really trying to get one, but
Well, I think if we had gotten on a little sooner, I think we were a little late on the but that's probably my fault too, because I was like, oh, I don't know.
Well, you know what, it's been like a full moon all year. That's what I've been describing. It's just been a weird year. So, you know, let's go back and see if we can do it next year and whatever.
Yep.
Somebody's going to get a check for a table. We'll see who it is. Probably
somebody.
Yeah.
It could be you.
It's good to have a home base, though.
I like having that home base, you know?
It is just hard. It was hard for me last year to sit there and just watch thousands of people walk by and not buy anything.
Yeah, and I was doing some, you know, like, research. You know, like, I went over to that section where you were, and it was pretty much the same kind of people. The zombies.
Yeah.
Gnombies guy. Yeah. He may have been at the show, but I didn't see him. But he wasn't at the same spot. Because, I don't know.
I don't know if it's a great spot. It's kind of weird. You're kind of, we were tucked in the back there, and, but yeah. It's, you know, it's what they say. It's
Our friend Sam, convention guest of the show, he was basically where we were the first year, right?
Oh.
And he did really well. So,
oh, good. The t-shirts, the Monsters Are Good
t-shirts.
Monsters
Are Good, yeah. So, very good. And I finally got my Monsters Are Good, like, Ramones t-shirt that I've wanted since last year, and he sold out. And he's, like, trying to just give it to me for free. I was like, no, I've budgeted for this since last year. So
you need to I saved a penny a day.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I was going to pay for it last year, so I'm going to pay for it this year. And then, I shot you guys a picture of our table friend, Star Trek guy.
Star Trek guy.
But he was back in the back room. There was a panel, a room where we went before, where they had, like, panels, but it was smaller. It was, like, kind of by the stairs, but to the left. It's called the Harbor
room or something. That.
That room was completely cleared out, and that was called Cosplay Room.
Oh.
So they had tables in there just for, like, cosplayers and cosplayer accessories. That's where the Star Trek guy was for some reason. And but that room actually was, because they kept the cosplayers in there as a place, and they had the step and repeat banner to take a picture in front of and stuff for Boston Comic Con. That actually was pretty cool because it was a nice little place to walk around and look at jewelry and stuff like that. It just didn't have, like, cosplay, like, incorporated in with all the other tables. You know,
yeah,
it
was, that's
like,
a good idea. One of the things that I always, and not just me, but I hear a lot of people complaining about, is you're trying to walk around and everyone's stopping to take pictures of these people in costume.
So
and it's hard to get around. But
so,
like, now it's like, go to your room.
Go to your room. There's a banner with the logo behind it. So that's where we are, you know?
Go take pictures in there.
Yeah.
So. Or at least if it cuts down on that, you know.
I think it did, actually.
Oh, good.
I think that was a really good call on their part.
Good. Yeah, good solution there. Well, we'll see what happens next year.
Players weren't upset about it.
Yeah, I don't know. We're being segregated.
Yeah.
I think they were happy, actually. It seemed to be a pretty good vibe in there.
All right.
Hopefully next year. You know what I think that they should do? Predictions. I think they should move it to the PAX building, because I think it's too big for support.
Oh, I definitely, yeah. That's
and they haven't announced dates or anything, so they're probably working on it.
That would be great if they moved it. I'd be happy to move it like any other place. I don't know. I just, yeah, that place is just not big enough.
And some people actually were, I forget who said it, but I was talking to somebody and they were like, I kind of liked it better when it was at the Heinz. And I was kind of like, yeah, I kind of did too.
I really liked it when it was at the Heinz. That was way better for, like, just to get there. You could go out to lunch, you know, like, and whatever. You could, and it was more spread out. It was more like the Javits, you know what I mean, in New York.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And, you know, the PAX, I mean, Durson, you've been to PAX, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
Josh took me because he was so nice.
So, and that place is just, that's, like, gigantic. Like, that place has got to be twice the size of the Heinz. And I feel like you could have better panels because you have more rooms accessible and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I don't know. There's something about the World Trade Center there or whatever, the Seaport. It's kind of like a, I don't know, it's like an airport hangar or something. It's not as, it's not very inviting. I don't know. There's something about it. I would love if they moved it to PAX. It's only, like, across the street, practically. I mean,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, very well. We'll see what happens next year with the being purchased by Fan Expo, which, I don't know. Whatever.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. It's a
Fan
thing.
Expo. It's a thing. I think that's on their website.
Yeah, all right. That's their slogan.
If it's not, they can run with it.
Well, I wonder what other... I don't know. I'm sure I've been to one, but I don't know exactly what cons they do, but they should let that guy with the Hawaiian shirt there. Well, what's that guy's name?
Yeah, it's Bob, right?
Yeah.
Hawaiian shirt, Barry?
Hawaiian. I think it is. Is it Gary?
It's Gary. It's Gary.
Yeah, okay. I almost said Barry. It's Gary. Gary, whatever his name is. Hawaiian shirt, Gary. They should let him run it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what else is going on then? We want to talk a little Suicide Squad? Even though it's been a couple weeks and we're kind of late.
Durst?
I haven't seen it. I want to know about it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh.
So, right. Thirst, you said you would have liked it if you were 13.
Yeah, I definitely, that's my take on it.
Yeah.
I would have liked it if I was 13. I would have loved it. If I was 13, I'd be like, this is the best movie ever! But it's, that's only because, like, there's no real, you know, story, and it's just like watching a video. Like, or like a trailer. It's like watching a trailer for a really good movie. But it's like 2 hours. So
it's a 2-hour trailer for a really good movie.
Yeah, like if there was, that was when when I came out of the movie, I said to Rachel, like, what happened to the rest of it? It's like, there's like no story.
Are you saying that just because there was not enough Joker?
I mean, I was disappointed with that. But that's not the reason why. But I was disappointed. You have an Oscar-winning actor there. And apparently most of his stuff was cut.
Yeah, he's even pissed about it.
Yeah. They cut, like, a lot of his stuff. So, weird. Strange. And meanwhile, you have, like, Slipknot in it for, like, a few minutes.
Yeah, he was a red shirt.
Yeah, he was a red shirt. I mean, I don't know. It's just, and even the way they introduced the characters at the beginning,
I kind of liked that.
I didn't like. I mean, I guess it was a way to just do it fast and then get on with it. But like, you know what I mean? It was like Street Fighter or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like where you're just like, this is M. Bison. You know, the only ones that really concentrated on were Will Smith and what's her name, Harley Quinn. There was Margot Robbie. Robbie. Is it Robbie or Robbie? I think we've had this conversation. Robbie?
I think so.
All right. Harley Quinn. But, you know, and I just felt like they just rushed through that, got right into the movie, which itself was, like, kind of, I mean, like, it, you know, okay, they got the bombs in their heads, so they had to do whatever we say, you know, and whatever. But then they got to a point where, like, that guy, what's her name, Viola Davis, was kidnapped. And the guy, Red Flag or whatever, is that his name?
Captain Flag.
Rick Flag. He was like, I don't care. I'm not going to blow you up or whatever. And they were just like, okay. Like, they should have just said, like, okay, bye. Like, and at one point, that Captain Boomerang, is that his name? He did just leave. And then he just was there again. Like, it didn't even explain. When, like, the guy actually smashed, like, the thing that was going to blow them up if they didn't do what they said. And the guy's like, all right, I'm out of here. And then he was just there in the next scene. No explanation. Like, if they had had a scene where, like, they explain, like, and I guess that's what the bar scene was supposed to be. Right. You know, where they explain, we have to do this because we kind of feel like we're good guys now or whatever. You know, something. Explain why they want to do this. Like, it just didn't do it for me. I don't know. Like, none of that. It was so silly. And then, of course, at the end, they all band together and they fight the weird enchantress thing. Who is she a character? She's a character in the comics, right? Okay.
Yeah.
But she's not like that, is what I heard. Right?
No, I don't know what she's like in the comics.
Okay.
I don't think she's like that.
I don't think that's what I've heard. I don't know who she is, but
I don't know what she's like in the movie, so I can't tell you.
She was goofy, weird, like Egyptian goddess thing or whatever, who. They had her heart. It was bizarre.
I still never understand why they change things so much from the comics.
I mean, I guess I don't know. So the problem I think with this movie is they had a lot of. I think they felt a lot of pressure on them because Batman versus Superman was so, you know, panned so badly that they were like, "Oh God, now we have to really make this like." A really good movie, and they had like three different companies editing it. We talked about this a few weeks ago when John was on here, and the company that did the trailer was one of the ones editing it, and I think they end up using that cut or something. And that's kind of what it is. It's like a long trailer.
Well, I had heard that I think something about like the trailer with the comedy stuff tested well, and they were like, oh, like the Warner Brothers was just like, oh no, we need to make this more comedic, so they went like did all these reshoots. I heard there was like 9 different versions of the movie made.
Yeah, I think
there were a few. Yeah,
there were a lot of different versions. Yeah, one of them was supposed to be darker and whatever. I mean, maybe it's good because like all the other DC movies were so dark, so maybe they're like, oh, we'll make this a little lighter. But and I'm fine with that, but I wish they'd add a little more story to it.
Yeah, yeah, there wasn't a lot of story. I will give you that for sure.
Yeah, and I guess that's what they wanted to do. Hey, this thing has made $384 million.
Yeah, I just saw that it's like it took the box office for 3 weekends in a row, which is
I know. Like Ben-Hur was supposed to be this big summer movie, and Suicide Squad beat it.
Wow.
So,
I used to love watching Ben-Hur for some reason when it was on when I was a little kid. I loved it. I loved the rowboats and all the stuff, all the desert stuff. I could not watch a remake of that movie.
The reviews are really bad. The reviews are terrible.
it's like a really long movie, the original one. It's like so long.
Yeah, I remember watching it once when I was a kid, and I was just like, whoa, what the hell? This thing goes on forever and ever.
I know. 3 hours, 32 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
God.
Wow.
This is pretty funny. This guy says, don't remake a film that won 2 Best Picture. Or that won Best Picture. I mean...
Yeah. Like, yeah. 60 years ago, too. Like,
yeah, right.
What is going on here?
Ben-Hur received a lowly 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. I mean, yeah, it's not... That was a bad idea. But Suicide Squad has done really well. I mean, so, you know, good on them. You know, I mean, even, I didn't love the movie, but...
I haven't heard as much bad stuff as I did about Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a division. I guess I wish, obviously, on a personal note, I wish there was more Joker, and I wish there was more story. I kind of, like, you know, whatever, though. It's just, the guy even said he made it for, I think he made it, like, for 13-year-old Matt Dirtson, to be perfectly honest, you know, like.
Yeah. He was, like, specifically
making
this for 13-year-old Matt Dirtson.
But. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't make it for 40-year-old guys like us.
Yeah. Well, kind of, though. I didn't really like... upon reflection, I didn't really like the blingy, gangsta, like, hip-hop, like, gross juggalo kind of aspect of the Joker.
No, I didn't. I didn't either.
But I still... In general, I thought I liked the Joker.
Like, well, I wish they had given him more... And, like, I couldn't tell if he was trying to sort of be, like, Heath Ledger or...
Yeah, I felt like he sort of kind of was, a little bit, at least.
Oh. There's, like, a big truck outside my...
Something. What the truck?
Yeah, what the truck?
What the truck, man?
It's weird, yeah. I mean, like... But I wish if he had more time, maybe he would have brought more to it. He didn't really add anything. You know what I mean? Like, Jack Nicholson was very different and whatever, and Heath Ledger was very different. I mean, like, this was kind of just... He didn't bring anything new to it.
Right.
But he didn't really have any time to do it. So I didn't really like the sort of... Yeah, he's like the... There's that one really scene that had no real point to it where he's in, like, that club or whatever, and he's... Whatever, he's going to shoot that other gangster guy.
Or kiss him, or, like... What, I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, I don't. It just seemed to have no point there. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you kind of. It was weird because in this one too, like in the comics, Harley Quinn is in love with him, and he kind of could give a shit, right? Like
right.
That's kind of how it's always been.
Yeah.
And in this one, he was kind of like they were kind of together, like they were both in it. As otherwise. The end wouldn't have mattered, but I guess there was a scene where he spoiler warning here, Josh, and anybody else who hasn't seen it. So like he comes to rescue her, and she's trying to climb onto his helicopter, and in one cut he like threw her out.
Yeah,
like threw her out of the helicopter. But then that wouldn't make any sense of why he would come back at the end and rescue her. So I don't know, like it just whatever.
I think if you tried to take apart like the story part of the movie, you'll drive yourself absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Batty?
There's like some cool Justice League cameo. Yeah. Holding.
No, keep talking. Don't
hold. Holding. Josh, where are you right now? Are you home?
Yeah, I'm at my house.
Did you do all your homework, son?
No
podcasting until you do your homework, son.
I still have some stuff to do, but I got the chunk of it done.
You're like doing it while you're talking to us.
I'm doing other things.
That's so weird. There are just a lot of motorcycles driving down Beacon Street right now.
It's a gang.
It kind of is. And now there's sirens, and I don't know what's going on. All right, why don't you guys tell me about the Tick a little bit? I didn't.
Yes.
I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah.
I got an email yesterday, I think. Friday, that said Amazon pilot season debuts episode 1 of The Tick. Let us know what you think. And so it's on Prime, Amazon Prime. And yep. Peter Serafinowicz is The Tick. And it's not
what's his name?
No, but he's a producer of the show along. And Ben Edlund wrote it, and like you know, he's very much involved. You know, it's not like a new studio is involved. And it was quite funny. The guy they have to play as Arthur is like so spot on perfect.
Oh yeah,
he is the best. I don't really like the costume, but I think that's because I'm used to the other costume. It's not that I think it's bad.
I agree. I thought the costume was a little weird, but I'm over it because he was such a good Tick.
Yeah, he's so funny. Like, just
he's
like
if you took Adam West and he's just like crazy, like the Tick. But I mean, he's just very good. I like his style. I like the cut of his jib.
Like one little just funny like joke is like he walks into Arthur's apartment and you know he's got a big grin on his face. And he's like reaches over to like his coat rack and he's like, "Is this your secret lever?" And he just like pulls it like right off the wall and drops it.
he just keeps like looking for it, like pulling like books off the wall, like,
knocking everything over and everything. It's really funny.
Is there anybody else like sort of famous in it or anything? Or
Goldberg.
Who?
Yeah.
Goldberg.
Oh, all right.
And
nice. Is this an ongoing? I mean, how long is it going to go? And or is it just until?
It's a pilot.
Right.
And I don't know exactly what the deal is with it, to be honest.
Okay,
have to let them know what you think.
Yeah, they do this every year, so you have to know, let them know what you think so they get enough votes to keep it on. But it kind of stinks because I have to tell you, a couple seasons ago, they had a really good pilot. I forget what it was called now at this point, but I loved it, and I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And apparently everybody else loved it, and they still didn't make it. They were just like, oh, sorry.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, like, a few years ago, there was the, you know, like, the Zombieland one, and it wasn't a great, like, pilot, but, like, I wanted it to be a show just because I love Zombieland. Yeah. And,
you know, it was funny. Apparently, he was, like, the Woody from Cheers. What the hell's his name?
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah. So that character in Zombieland, apparently that guy was, the guy in the pilot was originally casted to play that part in the movie.
Ah. Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's weird. Good thing they got Woody Harrelson, though, I mean, because he's pretty awesome.
You had asked if anybody else famous was in it, and I'd remembered it from the credits, but he's in sort of makeup and a Magneto-esque sort of costume, you know, like with the Spartan helmet kind of thing. You know, Jackie Earle Haley is the Terror.
No way!
Yeah.
That was the Terror?
Yeah, and
that guy is in everything!
Yeah, and I was like, I didn't realize it, like, as I said, until I like, watched the credits, and I was like, oh, cool.
That is cool.
That guy is all over the place now. Because he was just in Preacher. Nice. Right? Yeah.
He does a lot of comic book things. Apparently. I liked him in The Human Target, though. He was really good in that show.
Wow.
This is getting 4.6 out of 5 stars out of 3,333 reviews. So most people are rating it 78% at 5 stars.
Well, so, you better get on there and do that.
So what do I have to do? Give us feedback, okay.
Amazon, yeah, they have it.
I'm going to give them like 17 stars.
All right. I haven't even watched it yet, and I'll give it 5 stars just to fuck with them. And because I want the show to continue.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I can see this becoming one of my favorite shows.
Oh, very well.
I am very likely to watch that.
I mean, it's good. It's always... I love the cartoon. I like the live-action one. I mean, Tick has always been...
Yeah.
It's always been good to me.
And Peter Sarfino,
the cartoon is still one of my favorite cartoons.
Yeah, the cartoon was just ridiculous. It was, like, way ahead of its time, I feel like.
Do you remember the episode with the Infinity Ball and, like, the people were freaked out about it? They were just like, this thing, like, destroys universes. And it looked like an 8-ball. And the Tick's like, we shoot those into tiny holes with a stick. They're like, oh, you are strong.
I don't remember a lot of this. I haven't seen it in so long. I remember Chairface Chippendale.
Yep.
Said his name. He was my favorite. He was so, like, and he started to write his name on the moon, like with like a big laser.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then every episode after that, it just said Cha.
Yep.
The moon. Every time you saw the moon.
There was an episode with these things, and they kept chanting, we're filth. We're filth. We come from filth. We're going to filth. We're filth. And this one of the guys looks at the other guy. He's like, "What? Why are we going to filth? Like, we come from filth. Why are we go? Why are we going to the Bahamas?"
Yeah. Why? Too good. Massachusetts home. Ben Edlund. Love that guy.
Yeah. Coming back to the Tick. And I was thinking how smart it was that he, you know, retains the rights to it and everything, you know?
So yeah, absolutely.
Be like, oh, okay, you know, I'll roll this out, like, when I can. You know, he's like a big Hollywood producer guy.
Yeah, I know. He's worked on a lot of shows.
He's always, I always love seeing his credit on Gotham. I'm like, hey, it's the Tick's Ben Edlund.
Oh, I forgot he was on Gotham, but I remember he did Firefly, some episodes of Firefly, so, yeah. I think him and Joss Whedon were buds. It seems like they would be buddies. Maybe not. Maybe they don't even know each other. But.
So one word review, spoon.
Spoon!
Spoon! Good idea. One word, I am mighty.
I haven't read any comic books, but
no.
did anybody read any comic? Oh, Clay.
I did.
You know, some stuff came out, but
I read the Supergirl Rebirth book by Steve Orlando, which was it was good. It's basically doing what you would expect, which is like rebooting Kara as like more aligned with the TV show, which isn't bad at all because I love the show. Yeah. So you see, but her parents, major difference being like her parents are, her adoptive parents on Earth are both secret agents in the DEO. Do you know what I'm talking about, Josh?
Yep, I do.
So like,
are either of them named Martha?
No, they're not.
Okay, then
never. Martha!
And you remember there was that book, Chase? DC book, Chase? I think it was J.H. Williams drew it. Anyways, Detective Chase, who's almost like a not super-powered Jessica Jones character in the DC universe. She is like the head of the DEO in the Supergirl book. But it's pretty aligned with the show, so I liked it.
Can I ask this question now? And maybe I don't know if you guys agree. So, like, a lot of times I bought the Rebirth.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like so, you know, you buy like Batman Rebirth, and then like a couple weeks later it'd be Batman number one.
Right.
But it still says Rebirth on it, which is whatever. But like the Rebirth issues, they all seem like kind of a waste now, looking back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the time I kind of thought, oh cool, I'll buy this and see if I like it, and then I'll start buying it. But sometimes it wasn't the same creative team, sometimes it was. But like,
it's better if it is and it's like a point or 0.5 issue or a zero issue. That's what it's supposed to be, I think.
Well, they should have just called it that. Yeah. But I had to, like, yeah, so I bought a bunch of them, and then I even tried to sell them on eBay. And even people on eBay are like, what's the point? Like, you know, like,
yeah.
You can't sell these stupid Rebirth issues for anything. They seem like kind of a waste now.
I agree with you totally. And I mean, I guess if you're a big Supergirl fan like me, I think of the TV show, I think it does make sense to get this one because it explains how they're going to do the TV show version of Supergirl in the DCU, because there's no other way to do it, really.
Well, it's fine if you were like, I want to get every issue of these, you know,
I'm probably going to be buying that one.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it because, like I said, I've been buying Superman, which I never, you know, which is kind of cool. I'm enjoying that. But I don't know. I just wish, maybe they should have just called it Zero, and then I would have been more inclined to be like, okay, so that's like a thing.
Yeah, it is definitely but confusing.
The fact that they called it like Rebirth number one, and then they go just number one, and they still put Rebirth on it. I mean, it's just... it's
like, if you read DC Rebirth and then all the DC Rebirth number ones, it doesn't make one big story either. You know,
right.
It's not like a tie-in.
Yeah, they're all standalone, like, issues that are just like, this is what this one's going to be all about.
They got major issues.
Oh, yeah. I just wish they had called it something else. Now it just seems like a money grab, which, I mean, it is anyway, because like you said, they publish two a month
of
all these, so... I don't know. Whatever. Overall, I'm enjoying the same books that I enjoyed before. Batman... Well, I guess I had stopped buying Detective, and I'm still buying that one, so that's okay. And I am buying Superman, so...
Did you read the All-Star Batman?
Oh, I did read it, yes. Yes, it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
I haven't seen Two-Face in a while, so I was excited. You know? He was like a major part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're sort of like on the road.
Yeah. I like that.
So.
No, it was good. It was good.
On the road again.
There was something else I was going to add. Oh, this is a kind of a... I don't know if it's comic booky, but who cares? Did either guys watch Stranger Things?
Yeah.
All right.
Wasn't I the one that told you to watch it?
Yeah, well, you were one of them. Everybody told me to watch it, but I did.
just don't spoil it if you can, because I've only seen the first episode.
Oh, well, you got to watch it. It's only eight. It's only eight episodes.
I just haven't seen it yet.
Watch it right now.
Yeah, just watch it right now.
It's like the whole Daredevil-like thing. It's like...
We'll wait for you. Just watch it right now.
Okay. Pausing.
No, it's a great show. If you liked, it is something that's right up your alley, Josh. It's definitely, it's got a lot of that.
Isn't it like the best representation of the 80s?
It kind of is, yeah. I mean, it's got the horror aspects, but it's really just kind of like, it's like watching like E.T. and Goonies and Poltergeist. It's got some Poltergeist in there. All the great things of the 80s.
I love the soundtrack too.
Yeah, the soundtrack is great. I love the kind of chunky kid with the lisp. He's
probably
my favorite. They do fight about X-Men 134 or something like that. Does anyone know? I wonder what happens in that book. I wonder, is that some kind of signature book? It's like, you owe me your X-Men 134.
I think that is Phoenix.
Oh, okay. That would make sense.
Oh, yeah. Very well.
That's funny. But, no, it's great. They definitely leave you hanging a little bit at the end, too. So, I assume that means they're going to have a season two. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's awesome.
Oh, it's Dark Phoenix.
Ah, excellent. I wouldn't give that up.
Uh-uh.
Stupid kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't trade it.
Don't trade it.
Don't do it.
Slap it. Excellent condition.
Yeah, keep it in excellent condition. That's right. Yeah, I guess you couldn't slap it back then, but man, if I had a time machine, that's what I'd be doing. Going back and grabbing old comics.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's how I made
like
my...
probably the one thing I could remember to like get. I'd get back in the past to be like, what were those dates I need to remember? I'd be like, but comics? I'll just go buy a bunch of comics.
Just go buy a bunch of comics. Then bring them forward in time, then you have these comics in excellent condition.
All I would do is like I'd grab like all the Justice League Europe comics. I'd just mess it up. I'd forget which ones are worth valuable and the ones I just wanted to read.
You're like, just, oh yeah, I like
it.
This
would be one. Like, yeah, it would be like Battlestar Galactica. I would just end up with the same comics that I still have now. I'd be like, oh, look at this cool Justice League. It's the one punch.
I would totally Biff Tannen that, and I would just
you Biff Tannen it. Yeah, I would mess it up.
No, I would Biff Tannen that. Classic. Anyway, yeah, well, go watch it, Clay. It's fantastic.
I'm going to watch it. I liked it.
All right.
I do have a comic worth noting for a couple of different reasons. You have me hooked on Mockingbird.
Oh, yes.
This?
There was a Mockingbird this week.
Yeah, and I wish I'd read it earlier because I would have sent out a bunch of tweets about it to all the people in here that are awesome. So do you guys know that Jonathan Coulton does like a cruise every year? It's like almost like a comic book convention, but there's like just like a nerd cruise.
Oh my god, no.
And so he does this thing, it's called the Joko Cruise, and he has like Paul and Storm and the Double Clicks and MC Frontalot and you know, like our friends like play on his cruise and they go out for like, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's a couple grand to go, but you get like, it's a, you know, a cruise vacation, but it's just all nerds. And, and so this issue of Mockingbird takes place basically on a Joko cruise, but it's the Hawkeye cruise, but Hawkeye couldn't make it. He canceled as a special guest.
Oh my God.
And our friends, the Double Clicks are in here.
No way.
Paul and Storm are in here. There's probably other famous people like that I don't know who they are, you know, like the nerd cores are in here. And it's really, really funny and really well done. And it's like, yeah, it's like convention culture. But in the comic. And it was really, really fun.
Damn, I gotta go. But I haven't been to the store. Like, I know it's. I went on vacation, and the only store that I like, I was like, oh, I can go to a Newbury Comics, but I didn't make it. Just didn't make it. There's a mall down there. I'm slacking.
Slack-a-lack.
I don't know. It's tough to get to the mall. I don't know. I thought it was gonna close. All you know. I don't know. It's just.
The books will still be there. That's what I've found every time I've gone on tour or something. They're still at the store when you finally get back.
Yeah, it's true.
So don't worry about it.
Oh my god, I was so worried. But I don't know. I remember when John lived down the Cape. He said like he couldn't even go on like Wednesday and get his new comics. I don't know if that's still true. I mean, that was like a few years ago, but like, he's like he had to go like on like Friday. They wouldn't get delivered.
Damn.
Yeah. Of course, we didn't do a podcast then.
Right. Yeah, why would you?
But, I don't know. I should have gone. I'm an idiot.
I have one more comic that I just want to mention because it's of... because it's Star Trek related and, you know, Anton Yelchin... Anton Yelchin, rest in peace. Star Trek number 60 does almost like a Star Trek Generations thing where they have the new crew of the Enterprise meet the old crew of the Enterprise, and
yes.
This is part 2 of 2, so 59 and 60 are you know, Kirk versus Kirk kind of thing. But it was very cool. So I just thought I would mention
so that. So it was like Shatner and Chris Pine, Kirk?
Yeah. And, you know, both crews are in the book.
Oh, so William Shatner was at Boston Comic Con, right?
He did. I did not see him.
He was at Fenway Park on Friday throwing out the first pitch. I was there Friday the 12th, so it was a couple Fridays ago. Yeah, he didn't do a good job. He threw it like right into the ground.
He did?
And then then they let him do it again. They threw it better. But I didn't know. He's 80. He's like 85 or something.
Yeah, he is.
I didn't know he was that old. I thought he was like 70-something, but he is... Wow.
He is wow.
I mean, he looks pretty good, I guess. Here I was thinking like, oh, God, look at Shatner. But like, wow, he does all right. 85.
Well, yeah. But apparently, 94. I don't think he could throw out a pitch, though.
No, it wasn't too good. But like... Apparently, he wrote a book about his memories of Leonard Nimoy or something.
Yes.
I don't know. I know they kind of had off and on kind of friendship, so I don't know how.
Yeah.
What he says in that book, because they weren't always buddies, but I think out of all the Star Trek crew, he probably got along with Leonard the best, but I know Scotty hated him. Right? But. It was pretty funny. They had like people dressed in costume, like out on the field with them too. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But it was cool. Yeah. Bill Shatner.
Bill. I just call him Bill. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're on a first name basis.
Oh yeah.
With Bill Shatner.
Call him Billy. He doesn't like it, but I do it.
Billy. Billy. Hey, Billy. Say, don't Billy. Call him Billy.
Don't Billy. Use my number. Yeah.
Josh, I thought I said no, Billy.
Man, now I feel like listening to his album.
Come on, you Billy Shatner.
Rocket.
Why would
you? You're a rocket man. What else was I gonna say? I had one other funny thing. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So yeah, why don't we I guess we can wrap, right? We got anything else? Got anything else?
Yeah.
We are recording a special interview this week with my old buddy George O'Connor, who I signed with last year at Free Comic Book Day 2015.
Very well. Yeah.
He's we're recording that this week. It should be up this week, but he's got a screening. I don't even know if like anyone can go to this or not, but he made his movie, he made his comic Healed into a movie.
Wow.
And it's screening at the Brattle as part of the Massachusetts Independent Film Festival this weekend, Saturday, I believe it's 6:30, at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge. So
very well.
I don't know how, like, he sent me a link to the buy a ticket, but I don't know. He said, I think he just did that because he didn't want to blast everybody on Facebook with it, but I think anyone can go. So if you want to go.
Why wouldn't you want to blast everyone on Facebook with it?
I don't know. I just think he didn't want to blast.
I always blast people on Facebook.
Yeah. No, that's what we're all about. But I think it's, well, maybe because the Brattle is really small and he didn't want people, like, I don't know. I'm not sure why, but that's what he said. So,
all right.
I had sent him a private message and I said, I'd like to go and I'd like to talk to you about this. So, it's not so much even, the podcast isn't even so much to promote the screening, but to promote the book. So, yeah, but if you want to go check it out, he sent me the trailer. I sent Clay the trailer. It's badass. It's not like one of these homemade movies, you know? Like, it was like a legit movie thing, the trailer. I'm excited. That'll be this week, so watch for that. And, check out, if you're around, go to the Brattle on Saturday, or just go check out Heal that's on Comixology. Comixology. Comalabalabala. And while you're there, you can buy Robin Hood, for Christ's sake. Anything else, Clay? You got any shows we need to throw out there?
Yeah, just go to leaguepodcast.com/events.
All right,
we got a cool show coming up on September the 8th. which is the Dread Crew of Oddwood. They're a pirate band.
A pirate band?
Yeah, that should be fun.
What the heck is a pirate band?
And I booked...
Can you pirate their album?
They're pirates.
I think they would be okay with that, right?
They would be okay with that. And then on September 10th, I booked one of John's sister's favorite bands, the Blake Babies, featuring Juliana Hatfield, for a free concert in Alston.
That's pretty cool.
Everyone should come down to that.
Where in Alston is it?
It's at Pop Alston, which is across the street from Spike's.
Yeah, I know that place.
Outdoor concert.
Oh, very good.
And it's free, so everybody come to that.
When is that again?
September 10th.
Oh, all right. Very well. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
Very well.
It's free for that show. You just have to go to do617.com/Xmas. I'll put up a link on our site.
Xmas.
Because it's like Christmas. Alston Christmas.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Alston Christmas.
Yeah. So RSVP there. Free show.
Very well. Yep. Sounds good.
Very well.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks certainly to you, and thanks to you.
Thanks.
I was looking towards to where Josh lives, which is to my left, and I'm looking towards to my right where Durson lives.
All right, look at that. You guys both live to my left, so I can't really. I'll just send out a general thanks to you.
Yeah.
I don't know where anybody lives.
Don't worry about it. Well, thanks to everyone. Thanks for listening.
Great.
Adios, assholes, or whatever the hell it is John likes to say.
Later.
Go to your room.